home estimates, call 314-993-1800 and they'll show you how you can earn a tax credit of 10% up to $500 off of your order. Call Window World, 314-993-1800 or windowworld.com. That's Window
World. Mike Rowe here. So I'm at a Ford dealer talking with customers about how taking care of your car is kind of like taking care of yourself. And I ask, which is in better shape, you or your car? Hint, the answer has four wheels.
Let the experts keep your vehicle healthy at your Ford dealer. Get the works, an oil change, tire rotation, and more. For $39.95 or less, minus a $10 mail-in rebate. That's $29.95. Up to 5 quarts oil, taxes, diesel, and disposal fees extra. Rebate by check. See participating Ford dealer for exclusions and rebate details through 8/31/13.
American Patriot Light. All flavor, all American, and only 102 calories. American Patriot Light. Taking back America, one beer at a time. Available at Snook Shop. Save Deerbergs, Mobile on the Run, Circle K's, and you can always find us on Facebook.
Go see Broadway Ford Truck Centers for all your commercial truck needs. They're also a business preferred network dealer. Visit them at BroadwayTruck.com or at their location just off of Broadway.
Step to B Square.
This is the Friday edition of the Lars Morning Show in the afternoon on the Big 550 KTRS. That means Frank is off on assignment. I'm pretty sure his son said, Dad, can you get some diapers for the baby?
Yeah.
And that takes him the entire day. So I'm here. I'm Paul Harris, your 20% host, giving 100% of the effort. Thank you very much for listening. Ian and Dan are here with me, and so is Joe. This portion of the show brought to you by Auric. 7 locally owned and operated Auric home centers. You can also see their products online by OREC.com. That's Auric.com. And every day he's here, they sponsor Joe Hipperson.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Hello, Joe, here to talk movies and what's happening in the clubs this weekend and concerts and that sort of stuff.
It's great to see you, Paul Harris.
Well, it's nice to have you in.
Thanks, man.
What do we have on the movie front this week?
I've only got one. One film and one film only. Do you have any you were going to bring to the table?
Well, I'll talk about a couple of DVDs later on.
Okay, man. All right. I have...
I did not go see any screenings or anything this week.
The Wolverine. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
The Wolverine.
This wasn't already a movie with Hugh Jackman?
No, he's been in, you know, the X-Men movies. There was X-Men, X-Men 2, X-Men United. Then there was X-Men 3, The Last Stand.
But never a solo Wolverine movie.
Well, there was.
Oh, there was?
That's what I'm asking. Wasn't this already a movie?
Oh, man, one of the Travis. it's like getting robbed of your brain or your memory or something. X-Men Origins Wolverine was a movie that was released in theaters.
Was Hugh Jackman Wolverine in that?
Yes, he was.
Okay.
And the guy who's got that weird spelling of his name, Liev Schreiber?
Yes.
He played the mutant known as Sabretooth, who's also Wolverine's brother, which completely negates the first X-Men movie where he was played by a wrestler or a football player or something, looked completely different as well. X-Men Origins Wolverine is not only the dumbest title ever, but it was one of the most pathetic attempts to do a solo spin-off X-Men movie that they could have ever put together. You got Hugh Jackman, the guy that nobody knew until he played Wolverine in the very first film.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted Russell Crowe. Instead, they got a cheap Australian version of Russell Crowe, and he became a star overnight. He owns that role, and that role is his. You can't see Hugh Jackman with some facial hair and a little bit of, hair's a little bit long. He is Wolverine. And X-Men Origins Wolverine was just so pathetically done. They show us. Hey, did you ever see X-Men Origins Wolverine?
No, I haven't seen any of them.
Ian, did you ever check that one out?
No.
I'm not lying when I tell you guys. They do a montage in that film where you see that.
He didn't ask Dan.
I'm sorry. Dan, have you seen X-Men Origins Wolverine?
No.
Okay. I could tell he looked wounded over there. That he was left out of the conversation.
I'm very, very sorry, Dan. I won't let that happen again.
I only saw X-Men. That was it, the first one.
That's it?
Yeah.
What's wrong with you people?
I don't know.
Okay. So in the initial X-Men Origins Wolverine origin story or whatnot, it's like a prequel to the already existing trilogy. It gets so confusing. We see Wolverine fighting in all these wars that span over 100 years, okay? All these really cool battles and stuff in like a 60-second montage. And then we have him in the hills sawing wood for like 5 minutes straight. I mean, it was done poorly. There's a reason why I will go to my grave loathing and detesting a director named Brett Ratner. I have no respect for him. Brett Ratner.
What else has he done?
Brett Ratner is the guy who did Rush Hour 1, 2, and 3.
Oh.
Okay?
Answers the question right there.
Who couldn't do You and I could direct a Rush Hour movie. All you need is Jackie Chan to get all his buddies around, and they slap each other, and Chris Tucker just makes annoying noises.
Have you ever seen any of the Jackie Chan Chinese movies?
I've seen the ones that have been dubbed in English when he was first really kicking in America in the early 90s.
Yeah, where he does all of his own stunts.
Oh, yeah.
And his lips keep moving after he's finished talking.
No, well, it's the rest of his body that is amazing. Have you ever seen any of those clips from some of those?
What's really cool.
Does all his own stunts.
The one where he runs over the train and jumps over the trestle. Have you seen that one?
Or jumps onto the boat in the river. I think he broke his ankle on that one.
Yeah.
But, amazing.
Stunning. I have no idea what's happening in any of the movies. I don't care.
No.
Why would you care? It's like, okay, now they have the love scene. Why do we get to the next scene with him running and jumping and kicking and turning?
The funny bit is that him...
That's what you should call the movies, by the way.
He uses all the same guys to do all the big fight choreography.
Yeah.
So when you watch a Rush Hour movie, all the bad guys that work for the main bad guy are all the same buddies of Jackie Chan.
Mm-hmm.
And it took them a while to figure out, and it took a couple of Rush Hour movies to figure out, hey, all these extras are all going, psh, 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 psh. Whenever they hit each other, they're making that noise with their mouth. That way they know when to pull back their hand. And the guy who said, I'm not even kidding you, man. When you watch old Jackie Chan movies, you can see their lips. And it's a warning.
That's hysterical.
It's for real, man. It's the warning to the guy assaulting the other one. Hey, pull back. And that's how they did it. So
that's their safe word.
Yeah.
Brett Ratner is a director who did the third X-Men movie, which is one of the biggest just disappointments of all time. He's also the guy who did Red Dragon. He's the Nimrod who was convinced that Anthony Hopkins didn't need any makeup or anything on his face to look younger than he did in The Silence of the Lambs. He would just light it different.
Oh, Red Dragon was the original Hannibal story, but it got made later.
Right. It was originally called Manhunter.
Yes.
So, Brett Ratner...
Oh, that sucked. I saw that movie.
Yeah.
Terrible.
The whole time, first off, you've got a Hannibal Lecter who's got about an extra 50 pounds on him he doesn't need.
Yeah.
And he's supposed to be the younger version, but there's more liver spots than there are specks of dirt on the ground.
The only reason I saw that was because Anthony Hopkins was in it, and I thought, well, I liked him as Hannibal. The Cannibal and the Silence of the Lambs. I'll go see this. And wow.
So Brett Ratner unfortunately left a bad taste in our mouth when it came to X-Men. And then X-Men Origin Wolverine came out, and it was just a huge, huge failure. But not at the box office, which is why we got the X-Men First Class movie. That's why we're going to get X-Men Days of Future Past. There's so much X material happening in the next few years. It's insane.
Are those spinoffs with other X-Men?
X-Men First Class was the way, way far back telling of how Charles Xavier and how Eric Wencher, Magneto and Professor X, were buddies, and then they became enemies. The Cuban Missile Crisis is told in that movie in a brilliant way. It was a very, very well-done film. Kevin Bacon stole it as the villain in it, and Hugh Jackman did pop up in that film for one cameo where he was approached by the good guy and bad guy who were buddies. They're trying to say, hey, you know, we're putting together this school, and he told them to go F themselves, which was great in a kids' movie. I'm like, yes, Wolverine's keeping it real. So I was a bit nervous, though, because I went back and I rewatched all the X-Men movies. I'm getting kind of excited. I go into the Wolverine thinking, there's no way that it's going to redeem the memories I have of how bad things have gotten. The Wolverine is probably the second greatest X-Men movie so far ever made, with X-Men 2, in my opinion, being that, you know, high watermark. X-Men 2 was like the Empire Strikes Back of X-Men movies. The Wolverine is just beyond brilliant. And here's why. There's barely any mutants in it. There's barely any nerdy stuff that you need to know from the other films and all this other jazz, man. It is a straight-up story of a loner told in the proper chronological order. So this does take place and does recognize the X-Men films that came before it. Basically, Hugh Jackman is now a vagabond. He's just wandering the earth in Alaska, completely let himself go, all shaggy, doesn't care. He's abandoned the name Wolverine. He doesn't want to do anything. He blames himself for killing the love of his life, Jean Grey, in X-Men 3, which is obvious because he did kill the love of his life, Jean Grey, in X-Men 3, because she got all bad, and he decided to whip out the claws and he just crammed his fist right into the chest. So he's got a lot of nightmares, a lot of visions. He's a man with a bad, bitter past. But in that past was the bombing in World War II, which we now know he just happened to be at fighting for the Americans. And he saves this Japanese soldier because Wolverine has a mutant power where he can regenerate if he gets hurt. So he basically jumps on top of this, you know, Japanese guy, saves him, and the Japanese guy figures out there's no way this human being could have saved me. So this guy gets really old, finds Wolverine, gets him tracked down, and sees that he's exactly the same as he was back in World War II. He's like, this must be hell for you. I can cure you of what you can't stand. I will give you mortality. I'll make you no longer able to regenerate. You'll age. You'll get old. You'll die, which is what you really want. So that's where things start going in the Wolverine. There are so many ways I could spoil this movie. I will just tell you what I noticed. This could have very easily been R-rated. There's a lot of very tough and brutal action scenes. What I love is that it doesn't want to be Man of Steel. It doesn't want to be The Dark Knight Rises. It's not trying to be a giant, huge, epic, scope and scale superhero movie. It's Wolverine. He's a guy who would rather flip you off and walk away than even get into a fight. Mm-hmm. But when he gets pushed, I mean, he's just the man. There is, for parents out there, one epic F-bomb that is dropped in this movie, which would be the ultimate clip, the ultimate quote. I'm not going to do it. I'm not even going to reference it. I'm just going to give you fair warning. It happens towards the end of the movie. But every guy is going to be like, yes, you know, and they're going to just want to just rally up, man, when that thing goes down.
So it's rated PG-13?
Yes.
Are you telling parents don't take your younger teenage kids to see this?
I'm telling parents, if they have seen the other X-Men movies, the kids have, there are some scenes that are a bit weird. Where Wolverine, as a kid, first figures out he's got this ability to grow these things out of his arm, it gets kind of scary. If your kids have been okay with every X-Men film up until now, then that means they've aged along with the films. They're good to go. If this is their first entry into watching an X-Men movie or experiencing Wolverine because they saw him on a cereal box, I say no. But the kids who have seen the other ones, they're a little bit older than they were the first time, so this one is okay. But again, when they get into the action, it is not on a giant, huge Michael Bay, Roland Emmerich scale. It is really grisly and in your face, and it's very, very well done. The Wolverine, to me, has only one flaw, and this is going to make me seem just a little bit limp in the wrist. I didn't like the way that Hugh Jackman's body looked. And I know it's going to make me look really weird. Huh? No, wait, no, hold on. Listen, when you watch Rocky 1 and 2,
yeah,
Stallone looks like a muscular guy. He looks like he can get in the ring. By the time you get to Rocky 4, mm-hmm. and you can count, not even in HD, all the veins that are on his body, mm-hmm. it's distracting. It's weird. And it's not really kind of going along with the continuity of the fact that, well, this guy doesn't age, so he's always going to look the same. His body's always going to look the same.
He's not as cut as he was in the first movie?
That's the thing, though, man. I looked this up online, and they say that he's shredded. And that's the expression, if you can see every little bit of muscle on a guy's body. He's all shredded. Guys that are shredded also use every vein. I mean, if the guy wants to be a heroin junkie, he's got it made in the shape. Because all you see are just all these veins. That, to me, just was a bit distracting. And again, if that's the only flaw that I could find in this film, then it's a very good film. And yes, there is a movie that's going to come out very soon called X-Men Days of Future Past. They're going to reunite the original X-Men cast and
the Moody Blues. That's when they combine the X-Men and the Moody Blues for the classic rock fans who weren't into the X-Men before.
And you just wait for Patrick Stewart to say, breathe deep.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
they all meet on a Tuesday afternoon.
So if you're really excited about that.
One Justin Hayward joke per year. That was it.
If you're excited about the crossover, yes, if you wait till the end of the credits, there's a very cool bonus scene at the end of this film.
Oh, okay.
It really is awesome, and it'll get you kind of salivating for what's to come.
You know, I like it when reviewers tell me stuff like that.
Yeah.
Because when the credits start rolling on most movies, I'm done. I'm out of there.
No, and I feel like a real noob when I don't know, and I stand up, and I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. All the nerds are still sitting down.
Yeah, you gotta watch the...
And I'm a nerd, too. Now, maybe they know something, or they're just hoping for something. And then you see all these people that haven't exited the actual cinema screen yet, but they're still in the little alleyway, all on their phones. Is there a hidden scene? And they're all trying to figure it out.
Mm-hmm. I ask the people to come in to clean up. Is there another scene? And they go, no, you can go.
Wow, that's okay. A good move.
Yeah.
All right. So, yes, the Wolverine bonus scene, very well done at the end of the film. And I'm going to give this film, out of all the X-Men movies, I'm telling you, X-Men 2, that's it. That's a 9 for me. The Wolverine, PG-13, is an 8.5
on
a grade of 10.
Wow. It's
very, very, very cool. But, again, if your kids have seen the other ones and they're cool with it, then they can roll with this. But don't let this be the first X movie your kids see.
Okay. The other movies that are opening this week you haven't seen yet, tell me what you know about them. The To-Do List?
I know very little. I know very, very little about the To-Do List.
This is the one with Aubrey Plaza from TV's Parks and Recreation.
That's right.
And she plays a high school girl who is going off to college and wants to lose her virginity before she goes to college.
Well, that's a great kids movie.
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know what else is on the to-do list, and I'm unlikely to find out.
More than likely, and if you do find out, you might feel kind of pervy at the same time.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, I'm just being real.
And then there's another one called Fruitvale Station, which is about an incident that took place in San Francisco, I don't know, a few years ago?
Right, but this movie, you know what it's responsible for, right?
No.
This movie, the one you just referenced, the guy who put this movie together, because it's been such a huge hit, he now has the green light to make a film that I never thought I'd ever see, ever. The seventh Rocky movie. I'm not even making this up. Don't cringe.
I am cringing. Why?
You want to know what it's called?
The seventh Rocky movie.
No, it's called Creed. And it's about the grandson of Apollo Creed, who's been living a lush life. He's got everything he could possibly want, and he wants to get into boxing. And his family's like, what are you talking about? You're a silver spoon. You got everything you want. Your dad died in order to make sure you've got everything. The kid's defiant, and he goes to the only person who could possibly train him, because that's the only person his dad ever trained.
Is Stallone that desperate?
This
that
is a good move.
He has no other movies that work.
Come here, son. Let me show you how to punch.
Okay, all right. He hasn't gotten the
How old was Stallone in that scene? I couldn't tell.
85.
It sounded like it.
I think that there's, if they do it right, and if this director who's helming it is the same guy who's getting all these accolades, he's been saying on the press junket, all I want to do is make a hit so I can make the Apollo Creed sequel that everyone should see. And go all the way back to the root of the original film and just show it from the point of view of the Creed family, and Rocky just happens to be there.
Have you been dying to see a Creed movie?
Okay, I haven't, but whenever Stallone is Rocky Balboa, I'm going to be there.
What else has he done since the sixth Rocky movie that anybody paid to see?
I think people paid for the popcorn and press screenings for Bullet to the Head, but I don't think anybody paid to actually see the film.
Was he in The Expendables? Was that him with Schwarzenegger?
Yes, he wrote and put all that stuff together for Expendables.
But was that a hit?
It was a big enough hit overseas and domestically did fair enough that they did the sequel. And in the third one, I mean, you know the people that are all lined up in the third movie, man? Steven Seagal is going to be the third one. The bad guy.
Oh, there's a guy whose career is really flourishing.
You know who the villain's going to be? Yeah. Mel Gibson. And the third Expendables movie, Mel Gibson is going to be the bad guy. That's some cool stuff, man. If only for the crazy, bizarro world fantasy of, wow, all these actors that you've watched over these decades are all kind of rolling around and just doing
this
movie together.
No, here's what that movie is now about. Sly Stallone can't get anything else done. He has another franchise. He did Rocky. That was successful. He did Rambo. That petered out big time. Then he had the Expendables going. But now, in the Expendables movies, it's up to the point where he can only hire insane people who can't get other jobs. That's Steven Seagal and Mel Gibson.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he did. He had Jean-Claude Van Damme in the last one, and that was torturous. Well, I mean, Van Damme's like torturing people, but him acting was the torture for the audience. It was bad. He still can't speak. I mean, he really still can't speak. I mean, he sounds like a guy that just got his first English book that a first grader would have, and he's got a lisp. It just doesn't work.
That's why I hired him.
Because Stallone's the one to care about diction.
That's right.
Can you imagine? You're an actor, and Sylvester Stallone says, I can't understand you.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, what? You're going to have to speak a little more clearly.
That's why it
sounds like mush mouth. I can't pick anything up.
That's why it's awesome in the Expendables, all right? You rubes, when you've got Dolph Lundgren in those movies having conversations with Stallone, I mean, it's just hilarious.
What must that be like to be directed by Sylvester Stallone? I mean, let's say you're a good actor and you get hired. Yeah. You're a young kid, but you're a good actor and you get hired and you're excited and you're on that. And he gives you some sort of direction and you walk and you nod the whole time. Yes, Mr. Stallone. Yes, Mr. Stallone. Then you go back to the set or your trailer and you go, I don't know what the hell he said.
Hey, son, come here. Listen, I want you to go over there and you stand there and you do this.
You miss your mark.
And you do it. And then you yell, Adrian. Cut.
That's what the audience is waiting for.
Mr. Stallone, can you tell me what my motivation is going to be in this scene?
Yeah, you know, you got to go, and then you go up, and then you go, and then you sit there.
That's what it would be like. That's exactly what it would be like.
Would you turn down a chance? Would you turn down a chance to hang out with Stallone and be directed by him in a short film?
Well, if I'm a young actor and I'm hungry enough, I'm going to take any job you give me. It's not porn.
Just what escape plan.
I'm working on that, too.
Escape plan.
He did that as the Italian Stallion before. Seriously, before his career.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, there's an old porn movie with
him. And they renamed it after Rocky's success because it was originally some really dopey title. And they renamed the film The Italian Stallion.
Oh, baby.
No, this is a wild...
Hey, baby, here's what I want you to do.
I don't know what he wants.
I wish you to bend over here.
All right. Okay, fine.
There was a cool bathtub scene in that movie. I do know that. I mean, not that I'm that big of a fan. I'm just putting it out there.
All right, fine.
Fine. Escape Plan is going to drop soon. That's the one where Schwarzenegger and Stallone team up as guys need to break out of jail together. All right? Just, again, I'm floating something else.
This is the definition of over the hill, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely.
There's a reason why Sean Connery stopped doing action movies.
Now, how old is Stallone in real life?
He's
got to be in his mid-60s.
I know he's mid-60s, yeah.
I'll look it up.
I would guess he is, if we're betting, I would bet $5 Monopoly money right now, 67. That'd be my bet.
I think that's a pretty good number.
Yeah, I think it is, too.
And I believe he is older than Schwarzenegger. I'm just going to put that one out there, too.
Well, let's see. Stallone is... July 6th, 1946. So he's 67. Good number.
Wow.
That's
good number.
Somebody is hip on the entertainment. Saying.
And then let's type in Arnold here and see where.
I'll bet he's 2 years younger.
That's also a good number. He was born 1 year less. Well, 1947. So
damn.
He's 66.
What month?
July. He'll be 66 next week.
Okay. So at this exact moment, they're 2 years apart.
Yeah.
Right?
So do we want to see men in their 60s doing action movies? Is the question.
What about Clint Eastwood and Unforgiven? Come on.
Not an action movie.
It does have a good action sequence.
There's no fight sequence where Clint goes fist to fist and foot to crotch, as most fight sequences are nowadays, with anybody in that movie.
Yeah, but you know what? Like, what, 20 years later, he does in Gran Torino. 20 years older, too. Just putting that one out there.
I didn't like that movie.
You didn't like Gran Torino?
No.
Really?
I thought it was overrated.
You want to know the good version of Gran Torino? You get the English version called Harry Brown with Michael Caine.
I saw that. That was a good movie.
It's a great movie. And I love when people have no idea what it is. I'm like, do you like Gran Torino? This is what it should have been.
Absolutely right.
Oh, yeah. Look at that.
100%.
Once again, man, you and I.
Now, you mentioned Mel Gibson. When we're talking about action movies and action guys, you told me weeks ago on this show when I talked about a movie called Parker starring Jason Statham.
Yeah.
You told me to go get a movie called Payback, which was essentially the same story in which Mel Gibson plays a guy named Porter. And it's about a guy who is involved in a crime, a theft, and his partner double-crosses him and gets away with the money and leaves him for dead. But he's not dead, and then he spends the rest of the movie trying to get the money back. And in the case of Payback, it's $70,000 that he's trying to get back. And the cast of the movie is, it's a pretty good group of people who are in that movie. Maria Bello is in it as the hooker with the heart of gold who falls for him. the villain in the movie is a guy who, as far as I can tell, has played a villain in everything that's ever been filmed, but no one ever knows his name. His name is a guy named Greg Henry. He's just one of those guys where when you see him, you go, well, that's the man. He did it. Whatever it is.
You talking about the guy with the blonde hair?
Yeah.
Okay, I got you.
Yeah.
Got you.
David Paymer has a small role in it.
Lucy Liu plays a dominatrix.
Yes. Well, that's got to be one of her first movies, right?
Yeah. That was right around Ellen McBeal, just like popping in, so she had that. That's one of her first official big movies.
Yeah, William Devane, John Glover, Bill Duke, other character actors are in there, too. Chris Christopherson is in there as well. So I watched this last night because I knew you'd been bugging me to watch this. I got it from Netflix.
Not in a mean way, Paul.
No. You were telling me if you like that one, you should go back and see this one. And I thought the Parker movie was pretty good, not great. This Payback movie with Mel Gibson was pretty good, not great. About halfway through, I kind of knew everything about where we were going with the movie, every plot point. There are a couple of things where they pull off the bad guys are going to get the hero's girl. And he's given them the address, and they're going to that address, and now they cut to her, and she's in that room, and then they cut back to the villains, and they're on their way, and they cut back to her, and she's in that room, and I've seen enough movies to go, they're not going to her house!
It's a setup, right? Yeah.
They're going to another address, and I could tell exactly what was going to happen there. So it was very, very standard. It was also another one of those movies where No matter what happens physically to the hero, he is able to continue fighting and chasing and running and jumping and getting involved in all sorts of situations, like getting out of the trunk of a car, even though he's had two toes crushed by a sledgehammer.
He still whines about it. He's limping. He limps.
It's like professional wrestling.
Yes, but I know they're just movie actors, and I know they're just stunts, and I understand that. But there's got to be some reality to it. You know, I liked Schwarzenegger's, while we're talking about him, Arnold Schwarzenegger's movie Total Recall.
Yes.
I thought that that was really, really good on two different points. One, the science fiction aspect of it and the logic of the science fiction in that from the original story was very, very well done. And I also thought Schwarzenegger and Sharon Stone and some of the other actors who were in it did a pretty good job. But there were scenes in that movie where Schwarzenegger has fights where he gets kicked in the crotch, like, horribly. I mean, just like the guy takes the biggest backswing with a foot I've ever seen in my life and just crunches Schwarzenegger in the gonads, and Schwarzenegger goes down for 3/4 of a second, and then he's up and fighting again. No, he's not.
Yeah. Well, anybody that's been through that before knows.
I'm completely willing to go along with the fact that this is a mission to Mars that's gone wrong and all sorts of things that go on in there, and the woman in the bar with three breasts who's a mutant and all that stuff. I'm willing to go along with that. But when you tell me he's a guy who's not a superhero like Superman or anybody else who should be able to take every hit and every chunk to the junk like that, then it bothers me.
There's also the disturbing scene at the very end when the mask breaks and he has like a Rodney Dangerfield mask on.
Eyes popping
just
and everything.
Weird, man.
Yeah, no,
it
you're
just
right.
Looked way too Dangerfield for me.
You're
so
right. Now, along with that, I also watched another movie this week, and I blame Netflix for this. Anybody who has Netflix, you know that when you return a movie, it makes suggestions of, well, you liked so and so.
Similar movies.
Yeah,
sorry.
Here's another movie you might like. And it named a movie I had never heard of called Erased, starring Aaron Eckhart.
Oh, God. Really? I talked about this on New Release Tuesday. I gave a warning to everybody.
Did you?
Yes.
I didn't hear the warning, I'm
sorry
to say. And it is one of those movies where a guy has his identity taken away from him by some super secret government agency. Everything he's been working on is gone, and he has to figure out, A, who did it, and B, how does he get his life back together. And instead of having the hooker with the heart of gold, he's got the daughter who's rebellious but comes to love dad along the way and count on him and rely on him, and she helps him. And again, it's another one of those, like these other movies we're talking about, where the hero can fight anyone, anytime, for any length of time, and then not have a scratch on him.
When I was giving my warning, I said, just watch one of the Bourne movies, maybe watch the first Taken, and if you're really desperate, maybe Unknown with Liam Neeson, and you'll get the same kind of fix than you would, you know, watching that whole film.
Except that I would put the Bourne movies on a completely different level than all of those other movies you mentioned, including this one.
What I don't like, and I don't mean to be rude, Aaron Eckhart is good as an actor.
Yes, I like him very much.
I believe he is best when he's not the main guy. And Thank You for Smoking, he was amazing.
Yep.
But when he's really good, he really stands out, is when you're watching a film that he's not got top billing on.
Yep.
And you reference him, you're like, oh man, you know, that guy's cool. There was a big alien invasion movie and something, I don't know, something L.A. or something where aliens come down in Los Angeles, and Aaron Eckhart was the main star of the film. And it had good special effects. It was decent. Mm-hmm. I watched it with my kids. We had a good time.
Yep.
But you just didn't really care, because you didn't really care that Aaron Eckhart was the main dude.
Yeah, he was good in The Dark Knight.
And again,
as
he was Two-Face, secondary. Yeah.
Right? Yeah. He was fine in that. But also, he's not an action hero. He's a good actor. I mean, put him in scenes where he can actually act, not things where he has to fight.
Right. Because he's a good reactor. He's not a good action maker.
And I don't want to see scenes where it's after the fight and his daughter is stitching him up with some thread they found on a train. You know, just
all right, would you just give me one thing and just maybe either agree or tell me I'm idiotic? Fine. The first Die Hard film is still a great example of how a hero can bleed, barely walk, completely just wasted from the action, and he's barely able to even walk towards the bad guy, which is probably his inevitable death at the end of the film. I mean, that movie, the hero bleeds, the no shoes, running on the glass, all that stuff, almost crying to a man on the phone practically he's never met before just to give a message to his wife. That is why Die Hard is the greatest action movie.
Well, maybe that's why seeing other movies trying to do the same thing drive me crazy, because Die Hard was so good at it and set the standard for everything that was to come. And unfortunately, by now, we're up to the third generation of knockoffs of that kind of hero, and it has no appeal anymore.
Right, because you can't relate, because any one of us right now could take a, what did you say, something to the junk trunk,
Chunk to the junk.
Yeah, right now. Any one of us gets some chunk in the junk, and we're down, and we can't even finish the show.
Yeah, no.
Right. So I'm just saying, if you know, be realistic. I would love to see an action movie. Like we've talked about, like our ultimate movies. I don't care if it's a cop movie or what it is, or some kind of a knockoff of some action film. I want the hero to have a little bit of attitude and just kind of be like, hey, you know what? If we're going to do this, I just give me 1 second. I want him to actually drop his pants and put on a cup and put his pants back on and say, hey, you never know. Something like that. And then we can buy the bad guy punching him.
If I'm going to go out and fight, I'm going to need a codpiece. Where did I leave my codpiece?
That would be a great scene. And people would be like, hey, that's smart.
Yeah.
Now, since we've got millions of listeners, they're going to rip it off. I'm going to get hosed. So it's fine. It's a good idea, though.
Yeah. By the way, the fourth Bourne movie, the one with Jeremy Renner that came out in the last year or so, that was fine because it went along in the same Bourne way of doing things. And that series, I think, has held up. But all the rest of these that we're talking about are such cheap knockoffs, they're just not worth the time.
All right, well, the Joe Hipperson recommendation, when he said that, he referenced Jeremy Renner. I thought of Ghost Protocol. I think Mission Impossible has gotten better with every entry into the series, especially the fourth one. Ghost Protocol was, to me, exactly what a Mission Impossible movie should be. I thought it was very well done.
Very good. And, of course, he was fantastic in The Hurt Locker.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you can't say anything bad about The Hurt Locker.
No.
It's just wrong.
Yeah, I can't say one thing bad. The title.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of hard. You see that on a marquee. Yeah, no idea. Which it would be like when the movie The Naked Lunch came out. You can't put that on the marquee.
If you called The Hurt Locker Bomb Squad, now people are going to go see it.
Yeah.
Who would not have seen it otherwise.
I would agree.
If I see a marquee that says Bomb Squad, I'm automatically thinking parody. I don't know why. It's probably Police Squad, but it just pops in my head. Who would name a movie Bomb Squad and want you to take it seriously?
Yeah.
So, all right.
You would never dare name a movie Bomb.
No.
Because then every critic is going to say, well, I went to see The Bomb the other night.
Yeah, finally it comes to fruition.
Yeah, and it turned out it was Lone Ranger, which is the biggest bomb of the year, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Lone Ranger is just, the less said about it, the better. And I'm glad that a lot of critics and even, you know, users and bloggers and whatnot have all agreed with my sentiments on Red 2.
All right, I had one other movie I was going to talk about today, but I found out it's not opening in St. Louis today. It's opening in other parts of the country, but not in St. Louis for another couple of weeks. So I'll talk about it when it does.
All right. You want some concerts?
Yes.
Okay. If you want to go see a show, here are some options for you. Starting tonight, we've got Black. Not Black. Oh, my gosh.
Racist.
I can't believe we did that.
All right, nice going, George Zimmerman.
All right. Okay. Thank you. Blake Shelton.
Great. Now Obama's going to have to give a speech after our show today. Thanks a lot, Joe.
It's Blake Shelton, who I believe is white, but I'm sure he likes blacks, too. So there you go. He's at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater.
Is he still on The Voice?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yes. I didn't watch that one.
Yeah. Neither do I.
I can't stand that show. The Beach Bum Alcoholics will be playing at Pops. At Plush tonight, you can see ATM. I'll repeat that. At Plush tonight, you can see ATM. The Lighthouse and the Whaler over at Off-Broadway. Masked Intruder is at the Firebird. Strawfoot at 2720 Cherokee. The Ilphonics at Cicero's. The Pernikoff Brothers at the Gramophone. Dirty Soap playing at the Foam Coffee and Beer. Presents for the Dead are at Lemons. Handsome Tyrants are playing over at the Heavy Anchor. Fubar has Dub Flow. Butch Moore at the Broadway Oyster Bar. Animal Teeth are at the Livery Company. And the Ghost Wolves will be over at Ye Ol' Haunt. On Saturday, we've got, Tyrese and Genuine are over at the Shea Fitz Arena. Just Ted is at Pops. Ugly Radio Rebellion, playing at 2720 Cherokee.
I worked for him once.
Battle Stag is at the Firebird. Peck of Dirt at Off-Broadway. Malt Liquor is over at the Foo Bar. Soma Jet Set at Cicero's. Demon Lover at Plush. The Icebergs at Foam Coffee and Beer. Ellen the Felon at the Gramophone. The Shadow Thieves are playing Lemons. A Big Sad Whale at Ye Ol' Haunt. Heavy Horse is at the Radskeller. This is the Dope is playing at the Blank Space. Filthy 15 at JP's Corner Bar, and 33 on the Needle at the Livery Company. And last but not least, it's time to see if I can stump you guys. I got 5 concerts. 4 are absolutely real. 1 is completely made up by me. Are we ready?
Ready.
Here we go. The Lindbergh Babies, Saturday at the Way Out Club. Strung Like a Horse, Friday at 2720 Cherokee. Holy Roller Skates, Friday at FUBAR. The Copyrights, Friday at the Firebird. Dollhouse Scandal, Saturday at Pops.
Mm. Wow, these are good ones.
They are good ones. We gave Dan a shot at starting last week, so Ian, you go.
Strung Like a Horse.
Dan?
Wow. I'm going to go The Copyrights.
I'm going to go Lindbergh Babies.
Okay. For the first time in months, I have stumped everybody in the studio.
Wow.
Yes. 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 The fake band name, Holy Roller Skates.
Oh.
You know how cool it feels to be right.
Nice.
Finally.
Yes.
Excellent. So there you go. If you want to use that band name, go for it. Just give me credit in the liner notes. I am out, but I will talk to you guys next week. Joe Hipperson, Big 550, KTRS, HIP on Entertainment.
Nice job, Joe.
Thank you, sir.
Brought to you, as always, by the 7 locally owned and operated Oreck stores. They're also online, O-R-E-C-K, spells Oreck.com.
Let's get a look at traffic right now, see how things look out there on this Friday afternoon ride home. Here's Tim Weiland.
Well, I'm here. Hey, there we go.
There you are.
All right. Boy, this is a weird afternoon. Now, usually on Fridays, pretty dead in the morning and then really crazy in the afternoon. But there's some roads that are crazy. Some are wide open. Southbound 270, you're just a little heavy at Olive. Then it's wide open until you get south of Manchester. And then you have some stop-and-go traffic through Doherty Ferry. The big problem we've got now is coming in on eastbound 44 east of Antire Road. Only the left lane is getting through, and there's even debris there. There's a pretty major crash, and you've got about a mile and a half backup coming eastbound on 44. Westbound drivers on 44 are slow from 270 all the way out through this accident just before Antire. Northbound 170 at Airport Road, you've got a crash that has the right lane blocked, so you can look for traffic to be slow a little north of St. Charles Rock Road all the way up through Airport Road. Then on eastbound 64 downtown, jams up pretty solid. Vandeventer to the Poplar Street Bridge, 55, that right lane is at Park. Once you get on the Poplar Street Bridge, it's going to be slow on 5570 all the way to Highway 64. And now we're over Chesterfield Valley, westbound 4064, a little bit slow in pockets between Kings Highway and McCausland. Not too bad between 270 and Mesa, but once you get west of Timberlake Manor, it is solid all the way out here to the Boone Bridge. This traffic report is brought to you by St. Louis Bread Company. A summer favorite is back, the strawberry poppy seed and chicken salad featuring fresh strawberries and antibiotic-free chicken. St. Louis Bread Company, live consciously, eat deliciously. From the With your Golden Oak Lending Airborne Traffic, I'm Tim Weiland on the Big 550 KTRS.
We know. Yes, we know you've been keeping a space available for that one app you've been waiting for. The one app that other apps have paved the way for. The one app that will make your day. What app is that? The KTRS app, of course. Just go to your app store, search KTRS, download the app, and listen to the Big 550 with crystal clarity wherever you go. And it's absolutely free. The KTRS phone app for your iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, and most Androids. Get it now and tap the app to get the Big 550, no matter where in the world you are.
My business was losing money because I was wasting time searching through all my paperwork and computer files.
I had boxes of papers all over my house. I couldn't find anything.
Then I got the Neat digital filing system. Now all my documents are organized in one place.
With the Neat system, the boxes are gone, and I can find anything I want in just seconds.
Now I'm making money instead of wasting time.
My life is totally organized.
The Neat digital filing system organizes all your printed paperwork and computer files in just seconds in one tidy, easy-to-find digital place. You simply have to try Neat to see how simple it can be. And now you can try the Neat system for free just by calling 1-800-339-0344. Not only can you organize all your documents in seconds, you can find anything you want in just seconds, too, just by typing one word. Try the Neat system yourself for free. Just call 1-800-339-0344. 1-800-339-0344. That's 1-800-339-0344.
Hi, everybody. I'm Florissant Mayor Tom Schneider. Founded in 1786 with 52,000 people, we're the oldest and largest community in the county. We love living in our beautiful, safe, historic city, just minutes from Lambert, never far from the action. Nothing fun to do where you live? Join us. Every fourth Wednesday night this summer, enjoy great street parties in Old Town Florissant. For Wednesday night out, July 31st, visit historic St. Ferdinand Shrine where St. Philippine Duchesne mentored her friend, pioneer Jesuit Pierre de Smet. Join us for a family movie, ice cream, book signing, square dancing, and more. Every Saturday night this summer, rock on to live concerts in St. Ferdinand Park. Our July concerts feature Ground Flow Fusion and the ever-popular Smash Band. Billy Peake, Boeing, and the famous Butch Wax in the Hollywoods will perform in August. Our strong economic engine is causing tremendous growth in stores and restaurants. They're even building a superstore here without a TIF. Why not make Florissant the place to buy your next car or home? Visit FlorissantMo.com to learn more about living in the beautiful city in the Valley of Flowers.
Summer is here, and it is time to head to the forest. Sherwood's Forest, St. Louis's premier nursery and garden center at 2651 Barrett Station Road, between Manchester and Doherty Ferry Roads. Right now, select gallon perennials are only $4.99 while supplies last. Beat the summer heat by planting a large shade tree. Choose from red maples, zelkovas, and hornbeams. If you need privacy for your pool or patio, plant large green giant arboretas, Norway, or blue spruce and specimen holly trees. Any purchase of hardy trees and shrubs installed by Sherwood's Forest is guaranteed in full for 2 years. So head to the forest, Sherwood's Forest, 2651 Barrett Station Road, between Manchester and Doherty Ferry, just west of I-270. Call them at 966-0028 or see their website at sherwoods-forest.com. Sherwood's Forest is open 7 days a week.
Home and garden show face, making beautiful gardens come alive.
Have you put off seeing the dentist because you don't have dental insurance? Well, stop waiting and give Physicians Mutual Insurance Company a call. 1-800-300-8038. Hundreds, if not thousands of people turn to us every day because they're looking for good dental coverage at a great price. This isn't a discount plan. This is real dental insurance that can help pay for everything from x-rays and fillings to crowns and dentures for less than a dollar a day. And it provides immediate protection for preventive care, so you can get the checkups you need now and help protect yourself against big bills later on. You can't be turned down for one of these insurance policies, even if you're retired or on Medicare. Plus, there are no networks, so you can see any dentist you choose and never pay a deductible. So why wait? Call today and get the protection you need now. For your free information kit with all the details, call 1-800-300-8038. 1-800-300-8038.
Are you looking to buy a home? Tired of renting and throwing money away every month? Well, you need to take advantage of today's housing market. Historically low mortgage rates and housing affordability at its lowest since the early 70s. That's pre-disco. Don't have the down payment? You might not need it. Tap into government grant funds that can help you buy a home. Get $3,000 to $5,000 in down payment assistance, and these funds are available in most areas. Call Essex Residential Mortgage to see if you are eligible for this government program at 314-722-2334. That's 314-722-2334. With mortgage rates in the twos and threes, they are actually seeing mortgage payments lower than monthly rents, and now you may not even need a down payment. So what the heck are you waiting for? Call Essex Residential Mortgage at 314-722-2334. Call 314-722-2334. NMLS number 859811, Equal Housing Lender.
Missouri's biggest, oldest, and most trusted electronic cigarette outfit, Supreme Nicotine, is proud to announce the grand opening of St. Louis's first vapor lounge. Located on Manchester Road at New Baldwin Road in Baldwin, Supreme Nicotine's Vape Lounge is your electronic cigarette and e-liquid superstore. Offering hundreds of flavors of our U.S.-made e-liquid, dozens of kits and accessories, we've got it all. And as Missouri's only certified Joytech distributor, you know you're getting authentic merchandise, not cheaply made bootlegs or knockoffs. Supreme Nicotine's nothing like the junk you may have seen or tried from the convenience stores or gas stations. So we invite the most skeptical critics and those smart enough to be vaping already to come try Supreme Nicotine free at our Vapor Lounge, 15270 Manchester Road, Suite 110, at the corner of New Baldwin and Baldwin. Did I mention our lounge seating, 70-inch 3D HD TV, PS3 or Wi-Fi? Can't make it? Check out Supreme Nicotine at the South County Mid Rivers Galleria or St. Louis Outlet Malls. Learn more and order online at SupremeNicotine.com.
Finding a lender for your real estate needs is hard and confusing, but it doesn't have to be. Terry Hall here, and my lender of choice is St. John's Bank. St. John's Bank does FHA, VA, conventional, first-time borrower, and jumbo loans, and since they are a bank, they can do loans the others can't. Their number to call is 314-428-1000. That's 428-1000 for fast, easy service with great rates and low costs. Make St. John's Bank the easy choice for your home loan needs. St. John's Bank. Equal housing lender.
Attention Medicare members with diabetes. CVS Pharmacy continues to accept Medicare Part B coverage for diabetes testing supplies. Stop by your local CVS Pharmacy today.
3 out of 4 homeowners don't know where to place smoke alarms. They should be installed on every floor and near sleeping areas. Kidde Smoke Alarms help protect your family today.
Live from Nashville, Tennessee, it's the Bill Cleveland segment, starring Bill Cleveland, along with Bruce Limpress and the All-Boy Orchestra, brought to you by Laclede Cab, your AM and the PM cab company, 314-652-3456. And now, here's Bill Cleveland.
Hello, Bill.
And before
Hello. Happy Friday, everybody. How you doing?
Good. Before we get to Bill, there's a stalled car in the right lane, right in the middle of the Boone Bridge, going westbound, so watch out for that.
Okay.
There you go, Bill.
How are things in Nashville, Bill?
It's a beautiful day, a little humid, but you know what? Who cares? It's a great day, and I'm actually down here filming some stories. I was in Kentucky earlier today, and be down here in Tennessee the next couple of days doing some stories for the BillOnTheRoad.com website, shooting some stuff. I don't want to tell you everything that I'm doing, but some cool stuff on the way. So,
okay, great.
It's a beautiful, great day here in Nashville. Well, Representative Michelle Bachmann said the other day she wants to spank President Obama. That's what she said during an interview. And after hearing Bachmann say she wants to spank Obama, Anthony Weiner said, hey, can you text me some more details? And Anthony Weiner in trouble once again, as you know. It turns out he had the fake name Carlos Danger when he texts women. And not surprising, yesterday CNN screwed up and said Carlos Danger was the name of the new royal baby. And Rams training camp officially underway as of yesterday. And here's a surprise. Today they've been eliminated from the playoffs.
Wow. Already? That's the earliest ever.
Wednesday. And finally, this afternoon. Oh, I love this. A guy's been arrested after trying to rob a bank wearing a President Obama mask. Yeah, pretty stupid, though. Got to hand it to the guy. He asked for the money while reading from a teleprompter. The Bill Cleveland segment in full character, you know. The Bill Cleveland segment brought to you this afternoon by Laclede Cab, the official AM and the PM cab company. And from downtown Nashville, Tennessee, I'm Bill Cleveland on the Big 550 KTRS.
Coming up on 5 o'clock, the Harris Challenge right after the news. Stand by.
From ABC News, I'm Chuck Severson.
I am responsible for my conduct.
So he's apologizing but not resigning amid sexual harassment allegations as San Diego